Hey everybody, Aaron Noonan here. Welcome along to Repco Supercars Weekly as we take a look at the latest in the Repco Supercars Championship. And of course, at the moment, we're in Olympics mode. It's how we're getting our sporting fix at the moment with what's going on in Tokyo in Japan. No supercars on the track at the moment, but that never means that there's nothing going on. And joining me on the line to talk about the big news this week in terms of the sell-out of Rick Kelly and Todd Kelly from Kelly Grove Racing in the Supercars Championship is our head of content publication, Stefan Bartholomaeus, here at V8 Sleuth, who joins me on the line. Steph, I guess yesterday's news got a lot of traction, a lot of interest, given we're not racing at the moment. But if you really stripped the onion back, was this a surprise?
G'day, Aaron. It's one of those ones that it's not a surprise when you look over at the context. And Stephen Grove has even come out and said that this was definitely the plan, that when they bought 50% of Kelly Racing and made it Kelly Grove Racing at the start of this year, that the plan was to transition it to 100% Grove Racing. So, yeah, the writing sort of seemed on the wall from when they did that deal at the start of the year. But whenever these things actually go through, it's still a little bit of a shock that we're so used to having the Kellys as team owners, and that won't be the case from next year.
And they've been team owners, remember, since... Well, 2009, Kelly Racing was established. But prior to that, remember that John and Margaret Kelly, their mum and dad, Rick and Todd's mum and dad, had been involved in buying Kmart Racing when, of course, TWR Australia went bust in the early 2000s. So that had been run out of the Walkinshaw operation. But Kelly Racing, as a standalone situation from 2009, of course, was born out of Perkins Engineering with a lot of the engineering support and supply. And, of course, the first few cars, the first two Jack Daniels Commodores, were Perkins-built cars at the Moorabbin Workshop, which we fully know because we are right in the middle, as you indeed are, of doing the book on the history of every Perkins Engineering car. And, of course, that's how Kelly Racing got its start. But it doesn't mean, Steph, that Todd Kelly is gone. It sounds like Rick Kelly's kind of stepping away to doing more things away from motor racing. He's still got a relationship with Ford. We've seen him do the Mark 1 Mustang ads and some social content and things like that. So a little bit not sure as to whether we see Rick ever race maybe as a co-driver in the future. But clearly Todd's going to stay connected from an off-track point of view.
Yeah, it was explained in the announcement yesterday that Kelly Racing retained the CNC machine shop down there at Braeside. They always geared that team from the start to do basically everything that they could in-house. So they've got a lot of machinery there. They'll retain the engine department, the production departments, and the current Mustangs too. So Todd will be involved in the background supplying engineering bits and pieces to Grove Racing next year. But how front-facing that role is, we're not really sure. Clearly he won't be the team boss anymore. Stephen Grove steps into that role. So, yeah, he'll still be involved, and I think there's a little bit to play out in terms of seeing what else they do.
Yeah, there's still a few questions, plenty of answers given in the statements this week, as you mentioned. It gives us a chance, I guess, to look at Kelly Racing's body of work since 2009, and the one thing that sticks out to me is they've never, ever been afraid of biting off big bites, whether it be setting up the team from scratch to begin with, whether it was from the Nissan program, which was a mammoth program, kitting up for the Altima Car of the Future project, and then doing it again last year for the Mustang program. Kelly boys not afraid of a challenge, they've proven in the last, what, decade or so.
Yeah, 100%. And it's one of those things where if they look at the body of work in terms of races, or if we on the outside look at it, you can say they probably didn't get all they wanted, but the journey that they've been on and the things that they've done is quite amazing. And right from the start, I mean, when you look at the context of they set up that four-car team, as we were saying, doing everything themselves in-house as much as they could. There was a transition period from Perkins Engineering. But they were doing that right when the GFC was going on at the end of 2008, when Holden was peeling back financial support from quite a few supercars teams. So it was... They were sort of swimming against the tide right from the start. They got their Commodores up to a point where they could win occasional races in 2011 and did that Nissan deal. And obviously it's fairly well charted how difficult that all was for them. They were quite up and down. They did win a couple of races, but even then transitioning to the Mustangs and what we've seen this year, they can win a race one week at the Bend and a couple of weeks later at Hidden Valley, they're locking out the back row. So yeah, it's sort of shows how difficult the sport is and how fine line it is between 0-0.
Yeah, you made a good point there about the numbers in terms of the wins. So to this very point, in time as which we speak today, Kelly Racing and Kelly Grove Racing, same entity, just a slight ownership change going into this season, debuted in Adelaide in 2009, 175 championship round starts, 381 individual races, and of course on many of those occasions there were four cars from that team in those fields, seven race wins, 10 poles and 32 podiums. I think the numbers don't really tell the true story of what they've been able to do. Success is, I guess it's that old line, it's about what is success. To win a million races is one way of charting success, but to establish, create, run, be self-sufficient, run four cars, do a deal with a manufacturer, re-kit with another manufacturer, you'd have to say it's been a success story. They've done it the way they wanted to do it, which was the whole reasoning for going down the path anyway.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you look at that 2009 grid when Kelly Racing first started, there's no team, I don't think, that has gone through to now without significant shareholder change, whether it's whole ownership or part ownership. Even BJR have had Kim step out and Brad take over the full thing. So, yeah, it's just the arrow of history will not be denied. These things evolve and change, and it's time for them to step out.
What's their standout moment? There's a few moments along the way. Some of those wins are pretty memorable. Rick Kelly and Hamilton, I remember, in the wet there. Seemed to be a thing where those cars just lit up in the wet weather, particularly in 2011, because he got another win at Sandown. Some of the performances with the Nissans, James Moffat's win at Winton was controversial, remember, because of the E70 blend fuel that was used that weekend. What's the standout Kelly Racing moment of significance for you from the journey looking back?
I guess I sort of think of Kelly Racing as a team that was always quite open with the media and really helped bring the fans on the journey as well. And I think we've seen that as recently as last year. They did a great job of that with a video series leading into the year with the development of the Mustangs and then the tyranny of being on the road as one of the Melbourne teams travelling for a huge part of the year. So for me, looking back, obviously the wins and bits and pieces, but probably the excitement around that Nissan deal in 2012. I had that initial announcement in February. So we had a long lead up to when the cars hit the track the next year. But then it was about September time, I think, that they unveiled the first actual Nissan Altima V8 supercar at the Docklands there in Melbourne, and pulling the sheet off and Todd, like, excitingly explaining everything on the car and bits and pieces, and it was so raw and new, and there was just an energy about it as the first new manufacturer to come in with Car of the Future. I think that sort of period of time and the way the sport sort of embraced the excitement of it was pretty memorable.
It's funny, when Nissan had left, they'd left with booing on the podium at Bathurst, but they returned with a V8 under the bonnet and all was forgiven and things had changed completely. Yeah, it's a great era of supercars where we saw those other brands get into the mix, and of course it was the Kellys with Nissan who helped do that. Of course, now it's Dave Reynolds and Andre Heimgartner at the wheel of the Mustangs for that team, and of course I would presume we're going to be talking about it as Grove Racing for next season. Do they stay in the building that they're in? Do they move? I'm sure there's a whole pile of questions to flow out of the statement this week, but the fact is that it's the end of an era, and it's another couple of racers who step away from the sport, maybe not fully entirely, but from the team ownership ranks. We've seen them over the years, whether it be Larry Perkins himself, whether it be Ross Stone, whether it be Gary Rogers, now no longer in the Supercars Championship. It's just evolution. It's how it is. Nothing stays the same forever. That's life. That's motor racing.
Yeah, I guess the surprise with this one is that Todd's in his very early 40s and Rick's only late 30s. So it's probably, we're just used to seeing these guys around the sport all the time and probably expected it for a bit longer. But as we said at the top, we'll sort of wait and see how the rest of it plays out. Going by what they're saying, the Groves will still run the team out of Braeside there in Melbourne, the current Kelly shop, and they'll even move their Porsche GT and Cura Cup stuff into there as well. And the Grove side is, I guess, what we've talked a lot here about Kelly's, but, good on these guys, Stephen Grove and his son, Brenton, for the way they're going about this. They're not sort of hanging around on the side and saying they might start a team or they might get involved, kicking tyres, skimming stones. They are chipped in. And it's at a time where there's sort of a fair bit of uncertainty with the sale of the supercars business, with Gen 3 being delayed, and a lot still to play out with that. So they can clearly either see a roadmap a lot clearer than we can, or they are just committed to making this work. So it's great to have people like that in the sport.
Yeah, they're all in. They've definitely made a big impact and a big investment in supercars. And, of course, they've been in a Carrera Cup and GT Racing and the Michelin, what's it called now? Porsche Michelin Sprint Challenge. Used to be called the GT3 Cup. It's hard to keep up with the names of some of those series. We talked at the top two, Steph, about the way that Kelly Racing evolved out of Perkins Engineering, and it's a topic that's at front of mind for us at the moment because we are working on this Perkins Engineering car book. We're heading off to the print press end of next month, and the book will be out in September. It's a great insight into the nearly 50 cars that were produced by Perkins Engineering. And the last few, well, not just the last two that were the Jack Daniels cars, but then there was a couple of previous cars prior to that that were Greg Murphy's Pepsi car and the Stratco car for Dave Reynolds and some of those, the Dodo car for Jack Perkins. They were all ex-Perkins Engineering cars. So there's a fair bit of Kelly Racing that's in this Perkins book that's coming up in a month or two.
Yeah, exactly. And that includes, obviously, that 2008 year where Todd drove for Perkins Engineering before the Kelly Racing deal took hold for 2009. And, of course, the car that Todd won PE's last, took PE's last win with in 2008 at Simmons Plains ended up being the same car that Kelly Racing had their first win in 2011, both in the wet, as we referenced before. Those things really lit up in wet weather. And then, yeah, it's sort of just doing that Perkins book has brought back some of those left field sort of things that Kelly Racing had going on back in the day with Jacques Villeneuve coming and doing a few races and just all those weird and wacky names you may not have expected to see in a V8 supercar joining their team.
Funny you should mention that. We've put together a little five names you might have forgotten that have driven for Kelly Racing. It's on our website now. If you head to v8sleuth.com.au, you can check it out. You can pre-order your Perkins Engineering car history book as well, bookshop.v8sleuth.com.au. It's limited to just 2,500 copies. More than half of them, almost three quarters now, have been allocated and sold. So don't miss out. It will be a real collector's piece. Jump on the website, bookshop.v8sleuth.com.au. Now, Steph, on Repco Supercars Weekly, we always take a look at On This Day, July the 27th. And if we rewind back through the files, a couple of days of Queensland racing, Queensland Raceway history is what I should say, on this day. 2013 at QR, Jamie Wincup took the win in the first race of that weekend from Scott McLaughlin before he was a Volvo driver, driving for GRM, though in a Commodore. Mark Winterbottom rounding out the podium. And on this day in 2019, Jamie Wincup took the win there, heading home Will Davison in the Milwaukee Tools Mustang and Chaz Mostert in the Super Cheap Mustang. Hard to believe, it's only 2 years ago, yet so much has changed there. Of course, Will Davison's ride evaporated. Chaz has left Tickford. Jamie's going to retire. And that's only 2 years ago, the last time that the championship raced at Queensland Raceway. Time flies.
Yeah, and you referenced that 2013 event. If we'd done the podcast tomorrow, I think the On This Day results would have been a little more interesting.
It'd be good for Chaz. Be good for Scotty. Of course, Chaz Mostert had his breakthrough win for Dick Johnson Racing, the Wilson Security Falcon, number 12 it was back in those days. It was almost prefacing a little bit of Penske history, given the special nature of number 12 in Penske's history over the journey. So that's On This Day on Repco Supercars Weekly, July the 27th. We do it every Tuesday. We will do it again next Tuesday. Of course, don't forget to visit The Garage. It is Repco's online automotive and motorsport digital destination, repco.com.au or repco.co.nz for our Kiwi listeners. Tomorrow on the V8 Sleuth podcast, powered by Repco, a special archive episode. We've unearthed, with thanks to the team at the National Library of Australia, a never-before-published, as far as we're aware, interview with the great late Bob Jayne, recorded back in 2008. A great insight into his life, into his career in motorsport. It's one you shouldn't miss. It is tomorrow on the V8 Sleuth podcast, powered by Repco. Steph, thanks for joining us and running back through the history of Kelly Racing in the wake of yesterday's news with the Kellys to sell out at the end of the season. We should point out it is at the end of this year's championship. We will no doubt see Todd Kelly connected in some way, shape or form. And I think we've got to start a movement to get Rico back in a car for the 1,000.
Well, I thought you were going to say to get him on the V8 Sleuth podcast by Repco.
I've tried that. I did have we've been asked by a lot of people if we could talk to the Kelly boys. I'm really keen to do a sit down with both of them. I have asked Rick earlier this year. He wanted to handball it off for the moment, but I will keep trying down the track because he's got a great story to tell, and indeed Todd does too. They've made a great contribution to the sport over the last couple of decades in supercars racing. Steph, thanks for joining us. Get back to writing that Perkins Engineering book. We look forward to seeing it hit the print press in a month or so's time. Everyone, thank you for listening as well. Repco Supercars Weekly every Tuesday, and the VH Loop podcast powered by Repco is on every Wednesday. Tune in when it drops tomorrow with our special archive episode of Bob Jack. We'll chat to you then.